Soul Speak Living in Color, where we talk about inspirations, following your dreams, and what lights your fire. I'm your host, Sam Filia, Rainbow and Thunder voiceover. You can find me at samfiliavo.com. Hi, welcome and thanks for listening to Soul Speak Living in Color. Today's episode 2 is with Miss Kayla Pitts. She is a voiceover artist, and she mostly does commercials and promos, and she's looking more towards character work in the future to be added in there. So she is a fierce-spirited bookaholic, which is why we're going to get along fabulously. You can find her at kaylapittsvoice.com for all of your voiceover needs. And now, Kayla, tell us a little bit about your voiceover journey up till now. Like, how long have you been in it? How did you start? Why? All of that.
Okay. Yeah. That's like the standard first VO question. Yep. How did you find it? So I've been doing voiceover for a little over 2 years now, which surprises people when they hear that. But I started my education is in psychology. So I started out, like, my career was sort of in the psychology field. And I burned out of that pretty quickly and got a desk job that was really comfortable. But then I got bored and I was looking for something else to do. And I have a younger brother and he's 7 years younger than me. And he was looking into doing voiceover work. So I helped him do, like, research into what he would have to do, like, task by task, to make that happen. He saw the list I made for him and then he was like, I'm good. I don't want to do voiceover work. Doesn't sound like something that interests me. And I was like, okay, cool. That sounds like exactly what I want to get into. So if you're cool with it, I'm going to just dive right in. So he's, like, looking to do stunt work now, but that's how I found my way into the voiceover fields, is I started all of this research for him. And then I just had it all for myself to get going. And I just dove right in. So I still have my desk job, but I do voiceover the other 50% of my time.
Oh, wow. So you're kind of juggling 2 full-time jobs right now.
I actually have 3. I've got 3 jobs, voiceover one of them, the other 2 are part-time, but yeah, it equals 100% of my time.
Dang, girl. Well, yeah. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to do this podcast with me.
Yeah, no problem.
That's awesome. So you're living in New York, right?
New Hampshire. So I'm like 40 minutes outside of Boston.
Nice. I hear New Hampshire is really beautiful in the fall.
It's everything's about to turn and I'm going on a week vacation up in the mountains. So I'm excited to, like, take all of the pictures. It gets very nice here.
Yes. It's still 92 degrees down here in Alabama, but whatever.
Oh, it was like 50 today, 57 today.
See, this is why I don't live in the north. I would freeze if it gets below 60.
Sweater weather, sweaters always.
Yeah. And I'm making my own. So I'm into crochet, as I'm sure that you've seen.
Yeah.
I made my own shrug. I'm making a sweater. I'm making 2 coats. I am prepared.
That's so dope. I want to crochet, like, one of those giant blankets with the giant spools of yarn. Have you seen those? Like, you can make that's my next, like, big project, I think.
And but those I have way are really too many blankets. And great for beginners because you can do that by hand.
Oh, dope. Oh, right. Without using. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there huge yarn. So you're literally just using your hands. I don't think they make crochet
turning
needles big enough. That's okay, awesome. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You've given me that boost of confidence.
It's so easy. Like, you'd literally just be doing the basic crochet stitch, which I learned in a day.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm good at, like, braiding. I can, like, braid, I can French braid. So
it's a lot like braiding. Yep.
Dope.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your creations in VO Playground on Clubhouse.
Oh, Okay. Yeah. So if your audience doesn't know, Clubhouse is an audio only app. And a lot of, it's been a great space for voiceover people. I think like so much free advice and like the opportunity to be seen and heard by people who are like really far up in the industry. People who are doing coaching, giving free coaching advice or like advice on your slate, just like reading your name. But while I was in there, like soaking up all of this advice, I was like, I feel like people aren't really using this space to play with their voices. And that's what voice actors love to do. Like, that's why we love doing what we do, is because we like to play with our voices. And I was worried, like when I went out to make my own club, I didn't want it to be me on a soapbox and like giving people advice on how they came in and improvised in the room. I just wanted it to be a space where people felt comfortable dropping in if they had the time during the week, to just like mess around and be given a prompt. So the VoiceOver Playground runs every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard, 4 p.m. Pacific time, and it runs for an hour. And I just set up a new theme every week. I like set a prompt. So like enter the room and speak in a voice, like age your voice up or down was one of the first rooms I did. Or like AI voices talking to each other. Telemarketers at a call center sending calls to each other. Monsters like Monsters Inc. or like a murder mystery like Clue. And people just come in and they take on a character and they improv with their voice. And it's a lot of fun and people always have like the best ideas and it always goes in the weirdest like direction that I never anticipate. And I tried recently recording rooms, but I think I'm going to switch out of that because it was just a lot more fun for people when they knew that it was just off the cuff. And Clubhouse itself isn't really built for recorded rooms, unless you've got like a really structured radio show or something. But the VoiceOver Playground's more for fun. So none of the future rooms going forward from here on out will be recorded unless it's announced. Everything is just like when you're there having fun, there's music in the background to get everybody into character. And we just sort of like play, and it's been a really good time. I feel like people have said that they've really liked it and it's helped them branch out and feel comfortable like just making stuff up and playing in front of people, even though you're not really in front of anybody. You're just like, they're just hearing you. But that's kind of the magic of Clubhouse too, is that like nobody has to see you like now.
Right.
Yeah.
I've only been in the VO Playground once or twice. And I think the one that I remember was Animal Voices, which was a lot of fun. So is it open to everyone that has Clubhouse?
Yeah, anybody who has Clubhouse who wants to jump in. It's all levels of voice acting. If you're thinking about doing it, some people just come in and listen. They just sit in the audience and it's like a show. Especially the murder mystery dinner one definitely probably sounded like a show to the people in the audience. Us just accusing each other of like, no, you're the murderer. But yeah, all experience levels. So people who are, there was one time the voice of Ash Ketchum dropped in, and that was like, I was very embarrassed and self-conscious because it was one of the first rooms that I had run, and it was not like our best room for her to like drop in and hear. So hopefully she comes in and hears again, but yeah, all experience levels are welcome.
Awesome. Cool. So before we get into the really cool stuff, tell me about your goals and your dreams in the voiceover industry.
I want to make this my career. So I want to either partially or fully support myself doing voice acting. And I enjoy all ranges from commercial to animation, explainer videos, promos. It's the only thing I haven't like dipped my toe in yet is audiobooks, but shorthand audiobooks are definitely on my to-do list. There's all aspects of voice acting just appeal to me. So like, I enjoy doing it, and that's what I want to do for like the rest of my life, or like make my career doing. I don't want to sit at my desk forever making my boss rich when I could be like my own business, which are other skills that I have. Like, I'm very good with administration stuff. So like, I'm very organized. And
you have to have three jobs.
Yeah. 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 And to get them all done. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, it's just like, they're all aspects of voice acting, which like some people really don't like doing the admin stuff. Some people really don't like doing the editing. You know, I've got my order of like priorities or like my favorite things to do, but like all of it appeals to me. And I feel like all of it are skills that I already have or are interested in fostering. So I've really liked all of the things that I've done so far. My goals in the future are to just support myself, to do things that people would know, that I wouldn't have to like explain to my family. Like, they would just know because they saw it on TV already. Like, you know what I mean? Just the, something that I like getting to that level. Her. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is that Kayla's voice, man? Oh, I heard you on the other channel the other day or whatever. So it's like, that's sort of where the goal is. And then doing more animation stuff, like being characters, which is always really, really fun and has such a payoff when you see like the character in front of you doing their thing, but it's your voice, like making them alive.
That sounds super awesome to me. Are you interested in doing more anime or like Western style cartoons, realistic animation?
I'm pretty much open to all of it. What I've been looking at more recently are like video game animations and like being the voices of characters in games. So probably more Western are the things that I've been looking at. I do watch anime. I'm a fan of anime. I just feel like I definitely need more time to hone my skills to be able to do to get to that like level where I'm comfortable. It's such a different like tonality when you're doing anime voices. Everything's so like exaggerated and there's so much going on with your voice and like you have to really be in character. And I feel
really
like that's
way up here.
Yeah. Yeah. All the time. Like the gasps. I was talking to my boyfriend the other day about like the gasps that they do where they're like, like, or like the sounds that they make when they like are shocked by something and it's just so over the top. I feel like that's in the future for me, but I need more experience under my belt before I get there. I'm comfortable doing more of the Western cartoons and like video game animations than I am that yet.
I feel like anime requires a certain level of confidence in being vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah, all of it does. All of it really does.
Yeah, absolutely. I sit here and I watch anime and I imagine what it would be like to be in the studio doing these voices, like we're watching Hunter x Hunter, and Hisoka is my favorite freaking character. I love this guy. But I imagine that it's hilarious to be voicing him in the studio.
Yeah.
He's so dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah. And those people like are sweating behind the mic. They're crying behind the mic. Yeah. It's intense. It's intense. I feel like it's in my future. I'm just like, I'm intimidated by the thought right now.
You're gonna get there.
Yeah.
You're putting in the work. It's gonna come to fruition. So if you could do any role in voiceover, doesn't matter
Medusa.
What genre.
Medusa.
Medusa.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like I've had that thought for so long, and they're just like, so there is there, I've seen some Medusa characters, but like I feel like she needs her own like movie, her own like series, like something very like dramatic and epic, like an old epic. That's the one thing at the top of my mind. Like, I'm like, oh man, if I ever got to do a Medusa character who was like the main character of her story, that's my ideal.
That would be awesome. Dibs on like Persephone.
Oh yeah. All yours. Also such a cool story, Persephone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Greek mythology and Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Are so interesting. I love it so much. But I'm also huge into fantasy and stuff. I'm reading Lord of the Rings right now. Amazingly. Oh. Slowly getting through it. It's a very different kind of read for me. Mm. But still pretty interesting.
I've watched all the movies, but I've never read those books. I'm about to start Dune, which I know is like kind of a big undertaking, but I'm super into fantasy too. Do you read any Terry Pratchett or R.A. Salvatore?
Name a book. It's like the, I go off the titles.
So R.A. Salvatore writes the Drit series, which is like the D&D universe and characters within the D&D universe.
I have not taken on anything so complex yet.
Yeah. I highly suggest I highly suggest trying those out. They're intense, but like if you like Lord of the Rings, it'll be a nice next like fantasy step.
I'm trying to get more into the complex types of books because I've had an idea for a book in my head for about 10 years now, and I'm finally trying to hone the concept of this world to put it into probably what's going to be a series. Mm. And I don't have the knowledge of the type of world building that I'm looking to do.
Yeah.
So I need more complex reads.
Yeah, that's dope. I feel like I've had an idea in the back of my head for a really long time. I just don't know if I'm ever going to write it. And I haven't seen anybody else do it yet. So we'll see.
Heck yeah. Write it on paper. Like whatever you got in your head, just like write out whatever is sitting up there.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll be adding pieces to it. That's kind of what I've been doing. I'm working on characters right now.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I should do that. Just open a Google Doc and start like throwing stuff in it when I think of it.
You can, Campfire is a website where it's literally just for writing a book.
Oh.
So you can have a section for character. There's a section for your world. For certain towns, for different races, creatures, the concept of the story. You mm-hmm. can add images for what the characters are going to be based off of.
That's awesome.
It is really cool. There's a free version, which is what I have, and then mm-hmm. there's a paid version. This is not a sponsorship, you guys.
Yeah. Free versions are always good, though.
Yes. Okay, so I know we spoke a little bit about hobbies earlier. So talk to me about your scuba diving and whatever else that you do.
I'm just a big nerd is the other things that I do. I like watch TV, watch movies, scary movies, video games, first person shooters, D&D. And then I just like read books all the time, but only fiction. I'm not like into nonfiction or like fantasy. Scuba diving is like, it's hard to talk about because I feel like it's been so long since I've done it now because everything like closed or I haven't been in a place to go do it. I think the last time I dove was maybe like 3 years ago, but I got into it because my mom was a scuba diver and she loves the ocean. And for one of my birthdays, she was like, I really want you to come scuba diving with me when we go on vacation. If I buy you this for your birthday, will you like do all the classes with me so that you can get certified? So that we could go diving like on excursions and stuff if we wanted to. And I fell in love with it. It was really cool. The problem is that I live in New Hampshire, so it's very cold. And so like a lot of the practice stuff where you like learn all of the equipment and like how not to die, it happens in a pool. And then outside of that, they bring you to like, I went and dove in like the lakes region, which is like really cold, not a lot to see. There's a lot of cool like trees on the bottom of some lakes where there's like whole little, you know, biomes, fish going in and out. And it's cool to see the trees underwater, but there's not like a lot of colorful stuff going on. And then I've dove like on the coast of Maine, which is just a lot of like very dingy, dark, gritty water and like lobsters. And then like off the coast of New Hampshire, where there's also like lobsters, the water's still not that great. There's not a lot to see. And there's like little jellyfish that look like trash bags everywhere. But then I would go on vacation with my mom and we would dive like off Hawaii or like the Caribbean. And it's like beautiful reefs and all of these colorful fish, stingrays and like huge sea turtles. Awesome. And it's awesome. But people get nervous because it's like, because you can die, but you have to like know what you're doing. And it's and the first rule of scuba diving is never stop breathing. Like people think that you're supposed to hold your breath, you're underwater, it's your natural reaction to just be like, I'm not going to breathe because there's water all around me. And you have to like break through that. And like, you get this like yoga breath going where you're never stopping. You just have like in and out very calmly. And you have to like learn breath control when you do scuba diving, because your breath controls how high or low you are in the water. You hold a certain amount of air in your lungs to be higher or lower while you're swimming. You have weights and stuff on you too to like pull you down, but your breathing is what controls like where you are and where you're going. So you have to have control over that, but also like be pretty mellowed out down there. So it's like underwater yoga. And I fell in love with that, but it's a very, very expensive hobby to have, because like all of the equipment's super expensive. And then you have to like, to go to the places where it's cool, also super expensive. But yeah. I highly suggest it to anybody, or like if you have any interest or you're not afraid of the ocean, like I highly suggest everybody try scuba diving once, but do it somewhere you'll see something beautiful. Because if you do it somewhere you don't for the first time and you're sketched out and like anxious and freaked, you're not going to want to do it again.
That would be really awesome. See, like I've kind of got mixed feelings about going scuba diving. Because I have this, I don't want to call it an irrational fear, but it makes me very, very anxious whenever I even so much as think about going into deep ocean water. I don't even go swimming in the ocean. Like I'll go about this deep. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds so interesting because it's beautiful. I've seen videos and pictures of people going scuba diving and seeing these awesome coral reefs, or even going surfing. Like that looks awesome. Yeah. I would totally do that if it didn't make me freeze.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally understandable. I feel like a lot of people, my brother is one of those people. He hates when me and my mom go scuba diving, because he's like, you guys are going to get eaten by a shark. And I'm like, no, we're going to be fine. It is daunting. There are moments where I've been diving in like deeper waters. And you look down and you don't see a bottom. And like, there's a whole fear has some name, I don't know, but it's about not having anything underneath you. And that's trippy. That like plays with the human mind, being in deep water, so deep that you can't see the bottom. But then there's other times where like you're standing on the bottom because it's only just from coming in from the beach and there's coral reefs. So like you technically walk in, and then you're standing under like certain amounts of water, but you're facing like the coral reef and then the shore. If you turn around and then see like how far out it goes, it gets trippy, but you just have to like, you just have to focus. Like focus. I remember this one moment where I like turned and I was like looking and I like got lost, like at looking how far out I could see, and like it just turning, it's like Finding Nemo where it like turns into like fluffier blue or you can't see through it, and there was like a stingray and I just watched it like disappear into the distance, just straight into the water, and I was like, okay, yep, that I need to like focus over here at all the pretty things and how I get out of the water, you know, so you don't get like, yeah, it's but it's great and it's a whole different world. So when you experience it, it's really like you either love it, I think, or you hate it.
That seems like it was great. I don't want to say training, but it sounds like it would have helped you as far as voice acting goes, because you got to learn breath control. Mm-hmm. You have to learn to get out of your head.
Yep.
And push past the fear, push past your limits.
100%. I would agree with you 100% on all of those. The breath work too, like when you don't realize how much it affects you, or like in your everyday life, everything that you do, your breath is very important.
Right.
But yeah.
I learned, because I've been singing pretty much my whole life, so I learned how to use the diaphragm and my breath for vocals. And then I was in competitive shooting for 13 years, and that you have to learn breath control as well, because Whoa. You got to be as still as possible. So in order to do that, you have to really be steady. And I think that's a huge thing for people to learn in anything they do, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Competitive shooting. That's really cool.
Competitive shooting. Can I hear more about that?
Yeah. So I started when I was 8, and my grandfather was a shooting coach. He was in the Navy for 22 years. And he started teaching my brother, and then my brother kind of fell out of it. And then I got into it, and I was a natural at it. I was really good from the start. And so I started out with BB gun and then moved on to sport air rifle, which is basically just a basic air rifle that I didn't have gear on. And then moved into precision air rifle and then small bore. And it was really fun for me because I'm a very competitive person. I like winning. Like shooting for me, I really did it for my grandfather because that's what he bonded with me over. Mm. It was kind of interesting because I was good, but I just really liked winning the competitions. Otherwise, I probably would have done something else. Yeah. But that's what got me through college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Almost a free ride. Almost. So it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've never heard anybody, like, I've never heard a story like that. That's so cool.
People like that are all over the nation, too. And most people don't realize that it's actually a sport. And we have to wear these big hulking suits that are so stiff. So when you see us at the range, we're always just like penguin walking. It's what keeps us still most of the time.
Yeah. Very cool.
So we've talked about scuba diving, your books reading, which I read a lot of fantasy. Like that's pretty much all I read. I don't really do nonfiction.
Yeah.
I like vampires and werewolves.
Yes. Stimulate and my imagination, please.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Talking animals. So we talked about all of that. The one last thing that I want to wrap up with is if you could give one super important piece of advice to anyone looking to get into voice acting, what would it be?
Just one.
Maybe two. I'll
okay, awesome. Because I've got two. be yourself and move with purpose. So like, be yourself. I'm sure you've heard on your journey through VO yourself, there are so many voices in the world. And if you're not, you're only going to get booked being you. That's it. That's like bottom line. And move with purpose. There's so many things to do in voiceover. You need to know why you're taking your next step. There's a lot of things going on around you, and you're going to see your fellow voice actors doing things. But if you're going to do what they're doing, know why you're doing it. If you're going to take your next step, make sure that you're taking it with a purpose behind it that's going to move you forward, or is going to teach you something or help you grow. So those would be the two things that I would say to anybody thinking about getting into voice acting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I just want to tap onto that be yourself part. Sometimes you find out that you don't actually know who you are and what you like. And that's okay. You know, I've been on over a year now trying to figure out what I really want to do with myself. Like, who am I? I don't know. And it's a long journey. And this is something super creative, but it's also a business. So you just gotta be patient with yourself.
Yeah, anyway, said. That was beautifully said. Be patient with yourself. And yes, not everybody knows, and that everybody has to go through that journey. So yes,
it'll come at some point in their life. It doesn't, like, if you go through it early in your life, that's okay. If you go through it in your 40s, 50s, 60s, you're going through it, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So
that's a fantastic episode. I want to thank you. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy 3-job life to come and do this. Once again, guys, if you want to check out her website, it's kaylapittsvoice.com. Mm-hmm. She is awesome, as you have gotten to know. And this podcast is not just for voiceover. It's not just for certain careers or certain hobbies. It's really about what makes your soul fly. You know, what lights your fire? And I think that we figured that out in this episode with Kayla.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I will let you go. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And goodbye, everybody. See you next time.
Thank you. You too. Bye, Sam. Bye.